First thing you'll have to realize about grace is God's not withholding anything. It seems like he is because it seems like you can walk 20 years and nothing happened. But you have to understand the process by which God does things. Need does not move God. Well, it did. It did one time. It moved him. He gave his son for the need of the world. He offered his son to the world for the need. But after that, you have to understand God's process. How does God move? Well, he already moved. He already finished. That's another thing you have to understand. You're working from a position of a finished work. You're working from a position of God that does not withhold you. How he that spared not his only son, how shall he not freely give you all things? And it's like, my God, well, I'm born again. God loves me. I love the Lord. Love the Lord. Everybody loves the Lord. If you're going to position because you love the Lord, listen, you have to do it his way. His way is you cease from your own labors. His way is you stop trying to do it. His way is you enter into his rest. His way is humble self under the mighty right hand of God. His way is get positioned for grace. And his way, believe it or not, I only took me 27 years to understand this. I was seeking God pretty good for 27 years. Went hard after the Lord, amen, to realize that what I'm after right now, this was hard for me when he showed me this. He said, I'd have given this to you 15 years. Now, there's certain things he has to prepare you for and certain anointings. When it comes to certain things you want from God, you think, well, one day I'll be good enough for it. Here's another good one. If I serve him with all my heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength, if I give everything I've got, he's going to bless me. I got news for you. He already has blessed you. Your service to him is what I'll talk to you tonight about. He's been given you as a measure of faith, but his inheritance has been also given to you. His inheritance, part of that inheritance is what he's called you to do. But any of you ministries know you can give your whole life to God and end up with a lot of need in your life. How can that be? Well, if I pray, I used to think, God, if I'd pray 3 hours, then four, then five, then six, still wasn't moving the mountains. But it sure taught me a lot about God. I could do more now in 1 hour of prayer than I could do in eight before because of the effectiveness of prayer. When you learn how to exchange your weakness for his strength, you're well on your way. When you learn the throne of grace is a lot. The throne of grace is everything. Say everything. It's where we must live. We exchange our weaknesses there. We receive from his inheritance there. It's there that you can forgive and intercede for somebody you're holding a trespass for. It's there he'll change your life. It's there you'll find your calling. That'd be a good segue into that, Psalm 68. Today I'm going to talk to you about calling. How many of you know exactly what you're called to do? Raise your hand. How many of you are still trying to figure out what you're called to do? Raise your hand. How many know what you're called to do, but you're lacking certain equipment in your calling? Raise your hand. Or let me say this. How many of you know what you're called to do? You're flowing in the call, but you need more equipment to get the job done. Raise your hand. That's who I'm talking to tonight. All of you. You're always going to want more. How are you going to go about getting more? You have to learn to receive it. This is a noble thought. It's very rarely done, actually. Learning how to receive from God. Because the first thing to do is the enemy will jump on your back and say, you selfish outfit. Who do you think you are receiving? You should be out there winning the world, and you're in here trying to receive like some guy on some credit card in the sky. You should be out there winning souls out on the streets of Montrose. Funny how he never says that when I'm watching a movie. I can be watching Gladiator slay one giant after another. He never says anything like that to me. Have you ever had the enemy prophesy to you when you're watching a movie? You're going to have to get over the fact that God absolutely is head over heels in love with you. God will give you what you believe him for. I'll say it like this because he's shifting everything. He's shifting my whole prayer life. God will give you what you can receive by faith. What you can understand that he's already done for you and what you can absolutely receive. You're just going to have to get some mountains moved out of the way called Y-O-U to receive from God. It's certain mindsets that we have in receiving from God. And we look at somebody, it's like, you know where the root of all jealousy and all this stuff resides? Jealousy and envy and strife and debate. It's people get jealous of somebody else getting promoted. And you know what the first thing to do? Well, they don't know what I've got going on. And the first thing is, how could you do that for them? I mean, what I know and what I understand about you, I spend time with you, God. I lay my life down. If anybody is deserving of that blessing, it's me. I deserve to be blessed because I lay my life down. I happen to know they don't lay their life down. So why are you doing that? Why wouldn't you be doing that for me? Now, you're not going to come out and actually say that because you're too humble for that. But that might be going on in the inside of you. Wondering why they get that. When you going to do it for me, God? You get into that. Why haven't you done it for me? The hardest thing you're ever going to understand is he does not base his kingdom upon what you do. He bases the distribution of his kingdom based on what his son has already purchased and paid for. You cannot earn it. I deserve it because he made me an heir. I deserve it because I was freely justified by grace. And then that's the other side of the equation. You're going to have to come to the place where you actually believe you do deserve it. You can't approach him unworthy either. That won't get you anywhere. You think it will. But false humility will get you nowhere with the Father when it comes to receiving of the free grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know you're worthy. You have to know you're accepted. You have to know you're holy and without blame. Because when you are praying in Christ, by the time you make it to the Father, you're already in Christ. And if you're in him, you're in a place of acceptance. And the Bible says he's presenting you faultless before the presence of the Father. He presents you holy and without blame. He presents you justified. You pray from a position of being justified. By the time I get to the Father, I am justified. If any repentance needs to be done, that's on my way into the doorway. Christ justifies me freely. When he's presenting me to the Father, whom I pray to, in the presence of the Father, at the right hand of God, having shut the door, having entered into the door, having found myself in the Son, abiding in him, dwelling in him, found in him I live, move, and have my being. By the time I get there, I am ready for transfer. And I am believing for the transfer of his free grace. It's taken me 27 years to realize I can't work for it. I'll be here next year doing the same thing if I don't learn to receive today. So I've decided take one thing and believe for it until it comes into manifestation. And I've locked in. I won't need all of it. If you want to know what everything we're believing for is right in that room right over there. But I want to get one. If it takes me 1 year to get one thing, praise God. Because I found something out about the water that gets released into the temple. Once the water issues into the temple, once it breaks out for manifestation, the water starts rising. I don't know if you knew this, but the more that water started releasing out of Ezekiel's temple, every 1,000 cubits, the water rose and rose and rose. It was multiplying and multiplying. See, what you're releasing inside is a kingdom of multiplication. It can't help itself. That's what it does. When it gets out of the right hand of God and into you, it's going to change you. The way it gets released is the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the agency of transferring what Christ purchased for you. It's going to get released by the Holy Ghost, and it's called grace. Grace for every area of your life. So you got to narrow in and start believing God for something and work your way through all the issues that you have receiving. I don't have any issues. Then I challenge you to believe God for something you can't presently make happen right now, but not something that's 20 years and you're just going to take 20 years of faith to apprehend. Believe for something you can't presently, just right above your threshold, to make happen. I challenge you to believe God for it, and we'll see if we have any problems receiving or not. Because that's the stuff that's got to get moved out of the way. It's those interior mountains that have to be moved in order to receive the kingdom. Because once we start moving those mountains, the kingdom is going to start flowing like water. The Bible says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He said rivers, didn't he? Those rivers are full of inheritance, and they're full of grace. I am a recipient. I am the water pot. When you go to him, see yourself as the water pot. I'm the water pot he's going to fill with water. And that water is grace. He's going to turn it into wine. He's going to do the impossible. The Holy Ghost is going to transform that water because it's now in me. It's moved from the jurisdiction of the kingdom to me. Amen. I believe, I receive. I believe, I receive. Thy kingdom come. All this is recipient. He gives grace and glory, no good thing. He withholds from those who walk uprightly. What did he say in Romans 5? He said, they that receive the abundance of grace will reign in this life by one Christ Jesus. They that receive the abundance of grace. I found a scripture today. It says, be strong in the grace of the Lord. Paul learned how to transfer his weakness. You learn how to transfer your weakness, you don't have to have any blue Mondays. No matter what gets put on you, if you learn to take it off, that's actually an inheritance you have. You can take off the old man and exchange it for his goodness. But all this is done by faith. All this is done by receiving. Amen. Glory to God forever. Do you understand that grace has provided everything you'll ever want? It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Does that sound like God's withholding? To give you. Say, to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Now, you're going to have to say this about 10,000 times to start convincing your soul that God actually wants to give this to you. You need to say these things when your Father, it's your good pleasure. I think it's your good pleasure to give it to me. You spared not your only Son. How shall you not freely give me all things? How shall you not freely give me all things in the person of Jesus Christ? Well, what will he give me? Whatever you can believe that you can receive. I'm going to become a receiving machine because I actually believe God wants to do this. He already did it. He just has a way. We have to understand his way. If you'll spend time learning how to receive, it'll be the best thing you've ever done in your life. Well, I already know how to receive. If you do, it will show up. Psalm 68:18. I'll talk to you a little bit about your calling. It says, thou hast ascended on high. It's prophetically speaking of Christ's ascension, which Daniel saw in chapter 7. Very powerful. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received, say receive, gifts for men. Yes, and for the rebellious also. What do you think he received for the rebellious? Called salvation. Free gift to those who could receive it. Any of you rebellious before you came to the Lord? Aren't you thankful he received salvation to freely justify you? You think he's just freely justifying everybody who's got it together? Boy, he freely justified me. I was quite rebellious. Blessed, look at verse 19, be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. What do you think he's daily loading you with? Whatever he received. So whatever he received, I can believe and or receive. I want to shift your faith from believing to receiving. I want to shift your faith from trying to move mountains just receiving his grace, because Zerubbabel moved the mountains that surrounded his vision, that constantly were thwarting his efforts. He even gave up after 14 years. He was just tired. Him and both Joshua both. And God had to send prophets to stir him up. Book of Haggai stirred him up. said, get the rebuilding again, because they just encounter so much resistance. Sometimes you get resisted so much, you just want to quit. God's answer to Zerubbabel was not go take on the strong man. His answer was grace, grace under the mountain. Grace, grace. You need more grace, Zerubbabel. That was Paul's answer when God asked him three times, get this strong man off of me. God didn't tell him, just make your warfare and get over it, Paul. He didn't say that at all. He didn't say, oh, Paul, I love you. Come here. He didn't say, go. You know what he told him? He said, grace, Paul, grace. My grace is sufficient to move this strong man out of the way. My grace is sufficient to build you above him. How are you going to take on the strong man when he's already worn you down? You going to go fight him some more after he's done wore you down for the last 20 years? You going to go wage some more warfare against him? You're not going to take those guys down until you receive something greater. Grace is going to give you something greater than what's presently resisting you, if you know how to receive it. That's why we need to learn how to receive the grace of God. You can receive it for your body. I'm teaching Victoria right now. Teaching my kids how to receive the grace of God. She's shifting everything to learn how to receive. Just become a recipient of God. Shift your faith to receive from His grace. So He ascends on high and He receives the gifts. That's in His ascension to the right hand of God. Now here's the gifts. Go to Ephesians. I am convinced that people will learn more about the throne of grace and the right hand of God. A lot more people will find their calling and be equipped for their calling. We're going to get equipped for apostolic government because I know where it lives now. I know how to get a hold of it. But I got to open up the channel. So if I can believe God for one thing, if it takes me a whole year, I don't care. You got to have that kind of mindset. The whole year to believe, to receive one thing? Yeah, because once you receive one thing, 100 things, bam, 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 bam. Everything you've ever believed God in you will start rolling like water. Because you learned the process. Hallelujah. I heard Jesse Plantis on TV the other day. He goes, people ask me all the time, how does God do all this for you? He goes, I just learned how to receive. He goes, I just know how to receive. Now, in the past, I'd hear him say something like that. Now, I'd pass right over that. But now, I understand he actually knows how to receive. God will do some just amazing things with some unusual characters when they learn how to receive. You ever look at somebody and say, why is God doing that for them? I don't get it. Maybe they learned how to receive. Maybe we hadn't learned how to receive yet. Maybe we hadn't learned where to receive. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. So he's quoting right out of Psalm 68. This is an ascension. He said, and he what? Gave gifts for men. See that? Now, Psalm said he received gifts for men. Ephesians says he gave the gifts for men. He tells you what the gifts were. He gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, fills in the other three operations, because you hear me talk a lot about the eightfold government of God. The other three are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. He leaves out evangelist and pastor there. He says working miracles with gifts of healing. Then he gives you the other three, which were helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. He gives this entire government. Isaiah 9 says, unto us a child has been born, unto us a son has been given. The Father gave the Son. Now the death, burial, and then the resurrection, upon His resurrection, He came into the Ancient of Days. Daniel saw Him ascend to the Ancient of Days, and there was given unto Him a dominion, and a kingdom, and a glory, and nations. The Father gave it to Him, and He received the entire government of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 9, the government will rest upon His shoulder in the ascension. The Father put the government on Him and in the right hand of God. And He put the government upon Him. He said, the increase of that government and peace, there'll be no end. He ascends in and He receives the government in Psalms. By Ephesians 4, He's given it now. He's giving the offices. Now, I can't make myself an apostle. I was called to be one. That's just the way it is. If I say I'm not, I'd be lying. Our doctrine is proof. However, there are certain things about my calling I'm lacking. I lack certain equipment that I would consider vital. Scriptural equipment that every single apostle of the New Testament church had that I don't presently have. So I have a right because I see that it's God-ordained equipment. Paul said, sure, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you with much patience, signs, miracles, and mighty deeds. Earth-shaking demonstration. He was seen of every apostle of the New Testament church. Paul said he was. Their doctrine was to bear eyewitness testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He started them off by appearing before them in an eyewitness state. Then he opened the books and said, this is who I am. Showed them Psalms. How do you know he showed them Psalms? Because Peter preached it, his first message. Showed him, this was me, I ascended to the right hand of God. You're seeing me in a resurrected state. And then he says, wait for the Holy Ghost. Now I give you the doctrine, I give you the eyewitness, and wait for the Holy Ghost. What was their doctrine? They were to bear witness of his resurrection, that this king has come out of death. He was raised from the dead, and he has been resurrected into the right hand of God, and now he administrates his throne from that place. As a king and an apostolic high priest, that's what made it work. They, with great power, gave he witness of the resurrection. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace will be upon us too. Because I know where it's dispensed from, and so do you. So, said all that to say this. If you're a teacher, you should have revelation. If you're an evangelist, you should win souls. If you're a pastor, you should be nice and sweet, loving, patient with the sheep. Hallelujah. If you're a prophet, you should prophesy. That should come quite natural to you if you're a prophet. Hallelujah. If you're helps, ministry of helps, that'll be an operation within the church and without. Ministry of helps. You can add what we would call the gospel entrepreneur inside that ministry. That's the ministry of the business person, the marketplace ministry. They go out in the market, but they are helps. They're financial helpers of the gospel. Then there's governments. Governmental anointings in the body of Christ are very rare. When they are in place, they can cause order out of the multiplication. The church was multiplying so fast, by the time Acts chapter 6 came around, it was getting way out of order. And the apostles had to make a choice. They either leave the word of God, they leave the prayer calls and start administrating all this growth and the issues that went around with this growth, or they appoint seven men full of the Holy Ghost. And the office of governments was established right there. And they begin to govern the increase and govern the multiplication. Don't need governments just yet. We'll need them very soon. Actually, governments is an awesome gift. It can govern in many areas. It can govern on citywide, church level, city, national. Also, that governmental anointing, that's where you see the administrative, especially the managed type people. They are called into governments. You can have that gift and be in operation also as a ministry of helps. Governments and helps work together. Most of your CEOs have a governmental anointing upon them. They know how to govern. Then you have the ministry, diversity of tongues. That's the intercessory ministry that makes everything, that gives the fuel to all things. Thank God we have a lot of that. We're very rich with intercessors. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, why are so many intercessors? He said, you're in a place of birthing. That's where mamas come in. They understand the process, you know. Men, we're in that too. Praise God. So that's the government that Jesus received, and he gives that government your calling. Now, you can't call yourself to that, but you are called into that. You have a calling there. I didn't start out where I'm at. I actually started out as a pastor and a teacher, still lacking things in my apostolic mantle. There's three or four things I'm lacking. How do I know? Because I've identified them by the book of Acts. I said, I don't have that. Don't have that. Don't have that. Do you know every one of the apostles were separated personally by the Lord in an eyewitness state? They were ordained. Do you know that? All of them. Even Paul was ordained personally of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was separated by men. He was separated in Antioch. Wasn't it Antioch? Separated to the work, Paul and Barnabas. See, God has an order by which he does things. There's submission to things. Even though Paul was personally ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing. Born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, ordained, and the eyewitness all in one appearing. I have a complaint. You got all that? God said, would you like to have his mantle? Which one would you like? The stripes, the beatings, you know, the night and day in the deep. Which one would you like? Don't want to get too ambitious here. Praise God. So, what's the point? The point is he is administrating all of this out of the right hand of God where he ascended from. What is the point? You're calling for those who raise your hand and still looking for it. You're looking for your calling. And a lot of times what we do is we'll think, okay, I got to go to Bible school. Well, sometimes Bible schools are good and some of them will mess you up really good. Not all of them. Some of them will. Just because you go to Bible school, not going to make your calling sure. Would you like a Bible school in the right hand of God? It's called righthandofgod.com. It's quite a Bible school. There will actually be teachings there that you won't learn in a Bible school. And it's free. Now, how do I find who I am? Hang out with the one who has your calling. Hang out where he is. Be with him. It'll be an automatic transfer. I promise if you start abiding in the right hand of God, learn the entrance, learn the access, learn to abide, learn to dwell. It won't be long that your calling will start awakening automatically because the branch's natural tendency is to bear the fruit of what it's supposed to do. A branch does not work at bearing fruit. That's just what it does. When it's connected to the vine, break the branch off. Go, who have you got, a trees at your house or little shrubs, whatever. Go home tomorrow and break off a branch and lay it in the middle of your driveway. One's got nice flowers or something blooming on it. Or nice green leaves. Just break it off. Stick it right in the driveway. Stick it right in your front door. Where you go in and out of your house, stick it right there. Watch what happens to it. It withers to nothing. That branch could confess all day long in that withered place. It can shout, confess, it can speak to the devil, it can speak to the mountains. But it's not going to bear fruit until it gets back up into that vine. Get yourself a visual, help you out. So when I go up to the right hand of God, if I don't know what I'm called to do, I'm going to sure hang out with the one who does. How's this for a noble thought, Lord? Psalm 68, Ephesians 4, Isaiah 6 or 9. You ascended on high, you receive my office. You ascend on high and you give offices. It says in Ephesians 4, you give the office. Here I am, Lord. I'm going to sit with you. I come to receive my office. I come to receive my calling. I'm here to receive what I'm called to do. I come to receive the understanding of my call. I come to receive my position in your kingdom. I come to receive because you freely give it, because you inherited it on my behalf. I am one of those. I'm in there. By the way, those of you that already know what you're called to do, but you're lacking some equipment. Here's some equipment for you. Power. Say it like that. Power. So where we get power? Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He says, I give it unto you. Where do you think he gives that? Where do you think Peter got it when he said, silver and gold have a number. What I have, I'll give it. He already learned how to get it. You go in the right hand of God. Isn't that a noble thought? Go to the right hand of God and believe for God to give you power. Oh, well, you know, you got to be prepared for power. You don't want to seek power. You don't want to. Why not? You want to live powerlessly? Well, one day he'll give it. We must wait on the things of the Lord. Don't get ambitious, Brother LaRue. God's in control. I understand that. He'll give these things when we're ready. And when will that be? Was Peter ready? Just denied him three times. He said, get ready to overcome that because you're about to administrate my revival, Peter. And by the way, after that, you will go back under the law and I'll have to raise up another apostle to come snatch you out from under the law because I don't use perfect men. You're quite imperfect, but I love you, Peter. Get ready. Was Peter perfect when he received power? Did that stop the Holy Ghost? He was going back under the law. God had to raise Paul in, went up and confronted the leading apostle of the church. Paul confronted him on the spot in the book of Galatians. He said, you eat with the Gentiles, but when the Jews come in, you move off because you're seeking to be justified by men. Paul confronted him. But that was a little heated exchange, wasn't it? But Peter found grace in God's eyes. Peter had something nobody else had. He was willing to jump out when nobody else was. Safety is not always going to attract the attention of God. I'd rather jump and make a few mistakes and never jump. At least I can walk a little bit. Now I found what it is that moves God. You want to know what moves God more than anything in the world? Grace. Why is he so moved by grace? Because his son made the ultimate sacrifice for God to provide it for you. And he will not withhold it from anybody. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He will not withhold the grace from you. He will not. I'm going to come and receive my calling, and then I'm going to receive the equipment for my calling. We all need equipment. So what do? We need more equipment. We do so many crazy things to get equipment. We'll chase somebody around the nation to get equipment. When he's living up inside us, he wants to equip you. But you're going to have to believe him to give you power. You'll have to believe him to bless you. That's hard for a lot of people. They don't mind going to the world and getting blessed. It's funny, the same people that persecute that particular doctrine, they'll go right out there and sign a covenant with mammon tomorrow to get something they need and not think a thing in the world about it and pay 5 years for it. 30 years. Won't think a thing in the world. But don't you be believing God is a visa in the sky. No, he's actually a MasterCard. Well, brother, I don't know if I believe that. What do you base that on? I'll tell you exactly what I base it on. Know you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, that through his poverty you have been made rich. If the Father allowed his heir, his holy heir, to come down and get suspended naked before humanity. He was suspended on a cross naked, stripped of every earthly possession. Even his bloody garment, they parted lots for it. Stripped of everything and allowed poverty to come upon him. He bore the curse of poverty. That's why it's a grace. It's a grace because what he did for it. It will forever be a grace there. That's why he supplies your need according to the riches in glory that are in Christ. Because Christ buried that poverty, and in his ascension to the right hand of God, he received the wealth of the nations. He received the nations as his inheritance in the uttermost parts of the earth. He received the entire strand of Old Testament wealth, the history of it that was born in Mount Hebron when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob buried it. Caleb inherited, David inherited, made Solomon the richest king on the earth, and Christ inherited the mountain of Judah. I'll bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountain. My elect will inherit it. Get this one. And my servants will dwell there. Don't mind dwelling there at all. That's why he'll do it. But you'll have to receive that. First thing that'll happen as soon as you start doing that, devil will jump on your shoulder and tell you, you selfish outfit. Who do you think you are to believe God for that? You should be out on Montrose winning souls. Look at you. Selfish thing. God will supply your need. Don't ask for any more than a bag of groceries. Don't ask any more than get your utilities paid for. Don't ask to get ahead. Don't ask for your cup to run over. That's only for a select few people. That is for me. I'm going to receive it. I mean, I was preaching this the other day, and some lady walked right up at the end of service and said, "Pastor, we have a problem in this church." I said, "What?" She said, "There are people believing that God will give them a retirement." I said, "Really? Like you would leave an inheritance to your children's children? Something like that?" "Yes, but they don't know what the kingdom is. They're getting off track. You've got to," I mean, she was just in panic. "You've got to help them. They don't know what the kingdom is." I said, "Like the kingdom of grace?" "Exactly. They don't know they're using grace the wrong way." And I said, "You mean like the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ when he became poor? That kind of grace?" She goes, "But he didn't mean that. He was talking about poor in spirit." I said, "Well, he kind of was talking about finances. You mean like he supplies all your need according?" "Yeah, but that's need. I'm in this discourse and am I having this conversation with this person?" I said, "Did they just hear anything I just said?" "Stronghold!" I said, "Don't get in the way of anybody. Just want to learn how to receive from God. Grace will do a lot of things for you. It'll teach you how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It'll keep you from getting overboard. But if you cannot receive financially, how could you ever administrate a ministry? I got news for you. Ministries costeth money, don't they, Richard and Betty Jean? They costeth money. Honey, you actually have to pay somebody to put them on salary. You mean Chuck doesn't come up here and work all week long for free? Your calling, your gifting, the administration of power. How about this? Covet. Say covet. Earnestly. The best gifts of the Spirit. What are the best ones? The best for your calling. Covet them. Yeah, well, he's showing them in a more excellent way. Hey, while you're growing in love, covet. It's the commandment. You're not going to see that commandment very often. Covet! That means with a ferocious appetite, get it. Go get in the right hand of God and get it. My name is Jimmy. I take all you give me. I am going to learn to receive. That is a fact. You are going to learn to receive. And you're going to be blessed for it. You're not going to be 20 years from now wondering why God's not blessing you, because you're going to learn how to receive what he's already done for you. You're going to learn where to receive it, how to receive it, and you will receive. And your life and your family and your generations will be, this church will be blessed, this city will be blessed, because we're going to receive power for this city. The kind of power that's going to set people free. I mean, really set them free. Creative power, wealth, riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Stop being so scared to be blessed. I got news for you. You need it. You need to be blessed. You get so familiar with your circumstances struggling, you adopt doctrines that I'm going to just, we got to suffer for the Lord. They that receive the abundance of grace will reign in this life by one Christ Jesus. I'm going to receive some grace, grace, and more grace. Great grace was upon us all. Great grace was upon that church. Why are they doing? How are you going to do that? I got one word for you. It's called grace. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We know all about grace. Yeah, but do you know how to receive it? I don't care what you think you know about it. It's what you can receive that makes you change. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my sons, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong that's in the grace. Be strong in grace. If you lack something, stop whining. Stop murmuring. Stop wishing. Stop wondering. Stop jealousy and strife and envy about what somebody else has that you weren't born. They were born here. It doesn't matter in the kingdom. You're born equal. You all have an equal inheritance. If you don't have something and you're lacking, then go to the throne of grace and start learning how to receive. Identify that he inherited it there and then learn how to receive it. Amen.